You're listening to the Rubber Chickens Unleashed.
Now Elliott Fry lines up for a 55-yard field goal off the left hash mark. Snap it back to Kelly. Put it down. Kick it up.
It's long
enough.
Good
distance. Turning a little bit. He's got it. Elliott Fry just kicked a 55-yard field goal.
Can you believe it? It wasn't close either. I think he had about 5 yards across.
With 35 seconds to go in the ball game. Are you kidding me?
T-Bone.
Yes.
G-Man.
Hello.
Welcome to TRC Unleashed, episode 88. Okay, man, 88 episodes. That's like...
You would think that we would have had something worthwhile to say by now.
Yeah.
88 episodes. 88. Wow.
That's Dale Jr.'s number, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And 88 episodes in how many Gamecock national championships?
We're sitting at zero. No, I think we've done all 88 episodes. We may have done some before the second national baseball championship. So, So anyway, but no football titles. Hey, we got an SEC East title under our belt, but that's it. So, all right. Hey guys. Hey, welcome to TRC Unleashed. I am Buck. I'm your host. We're the Rubber Chickens. You can find us at therubberchickensblog.com and on various social media outlets. So we played Vanderbilt on Thursday. And can you guys believe that 1 week ago tonight we were feeling good about a heavy sushi dinner, and we were listening to Pat Green. Pat Green at the Losers parking lot.
Was that Pat Green?
That was Pat Green.
Well, Pat Green had one hit. He wrote one hit.
Wave on Wave. I had to look it up.
That's right. He nailed that song, baby.
Here's the funny thing. I was talking to a guy at work today. It was the first time I've seen him this week, and he said, "Oh man, how's your trip to Nashville?" And I was telling him all about it and everything. He said, "Well, did y'all go out any?" And I said, "Well, we went to this bar on Wednesday night, the night that we got there, and we saw this guy named Pat Green." And he goes, "Pat Green? You saw Pat Green?" And I was like, "Well, yeah, we saw it." Pat Green was like this dude's favorite artist. The guy I was talking to is like from Waco, Texas, and Pat Green is apparently from Waco, Texas. He sat there and talked to me about Pat Green for about 20 minutes. I was like, all right, well, okay. You know, he was talking about what a big following this guy has and everything, but, you know, he was pretty good, I guess. He was better.
Yeah,
he was better than dinner, wasn't he, G-Man?
Much better than dinner. I mean, you mean that appetizer we had at the at Acme?
As it turns out, G-Man is not a big sushi fan, which I should have known. He started handling his chopsticks like shovels. You
know? Well, I will agree that I'm not a good chopsticks handler, but for the record, I thought we were going to get an appetizer, and it turned out to be full-blown dinner, except I'm the kind of guy, you know, despite my slight stature, I've got to eat, you know?
You're a meat and potatoes guy. Right?
Exactly. And so I had a little soup and then, you know, a little sushi. And I was like, okay, where's the meal? And you guys were like, we're done.
Well, since I was paying for that portion of the evening, and I was 120 pounds into you of fish and rice, I was hoping you'd enjoy it.
Well, I mean, it was good. It was just a snack. You know, I mean, come on, guys.
Well, it was funny. We got there. I'm telling you guys about our sushi experience. I was kind of with G-Man at first. I was like, I'll get me a spicy tuna roll or something, you know, six pieces of sushi. And then we'll go downstairs to the real restaurant and figure out, you know, a good dinner or something. And then the plate shows up, and T-Bone had ordered all this. I mean, there were like 30 pieces of sushi on my plate. So it was
It was a lot of sushi, but I'm the kind of guy who eats three or four pieces of sushi, and it's kind of like, it's good, but it's not a meal. Okay. I'm looking for the steak. I'm looking for the potatoes. I'm looking for the salad.
Right.
You know.
Okay.
Right.
So here's the thing. How does this relate to our football schedule? We just had the sushi.
Right. We just had the appetizer. And hopefully,
when do we get to the meat and potatoes?
Hopefully it didn't make it. Hopefully it didn't make us full. You know, that one victory over Vanderbilt. So yeah, so we had a good time. Good time Wednesday night, and then Thursday we kind of tooled around a little bit, and then met up with some fellow Gamecocks for some tailgating. Meet me at Taps, and the Feathered Warrior, Beat Clem was there. A few other guys we hung out with had a pretty good time. I'd say it was nice meeting up with those fellows at Jed's.
Jed was a massive Gamecock hangout place, man. We took over that place.
Happening Gamecock place.
Yeah, it was.
And then we headed over to the ball game. Was there anything tailgating that stuck out to you, T-Bone? You kind of disappeared on us for a little while. I think you were in line for like 2 hours buying a beer.
Yeah, I was in line, and what I basically did is I bought every beer they had when I got in front of that line because it was overrun with. I'm going to assume they were all 21.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to assume that, but they all looked 14, and they were all buying ridiculous mixed drinks, and so I felt like an old man. So I got up front, and I said, give me all your light beer, and I brought an armload back.
That was all gone in about 30 seconds.
Yes, it was. It was gone. But once I got back, you know, I got to say that Beat Clem guy, super fella.
Yeah.
And I got to thank Beat Clem, too, because he bought us some beers and he put it on his brother's tab. Yeah, I wonder if his brother even knows, but his brother bought us a bunch of beers. And Beat Clem was like, hey, my brother's got a tab. Let's just load it up. So, hey, Beat Clem, thanks for the beers. If Beat Clem's brother's listening, thanks for the beers.
So we headed over to the stadium. I guess we got to our seats probably about 20 minutes before kickoff. And the Gamecock section of the stadium was about 80% full, I think, when we sat down. And I actually took a picture and tweeted it out maybe 10 minutes before the game started. And there were still a lot more Gamecock fans in the stands than there were Vandy fans. And then Vandy has this tradition. For those of you that were there, you saw this, but Vandy has a tradition. Every first home game, all of the Vandy freshmen run out of the tunnel onto the field and like across the field and out the other side of the stadium, and then they like circle back and get into their seats. That lasted forever. I don't know how many freshmen there are at Vanderbilt, but it felt like about 45,000. Came out of
I think it was all the freshmen and the sophomores and about half the juniors.
Right.
You say they circle back around to their seats, when in reality, about 90% of them headed straight out the gate and right down the Broadway.
Yeah.
They didn't come back in the stadium at all.
Yeah, yeah. Well, none of them, also none of them look like the two young ladies that sat next to you at the game, T-Bone.
Yeah, well.
Let's clarify. The two young ladies who sat next to T-Bone at the game for about 20 minutes.
Let's go get some pizza.
In fairness to the young ladies, 20 minutes is about all of me you can take.
Yeah, I mean, maybe 10. I mean, really.
I tell you, we made some accurate predictions that night. Whenever they left, T-Bone looked at me. He said, we will never see them again.
No.
And we didn't.
They're not coming back. No.
And I don't think it was because we smelled or anything. I think they were just.
Well. Hey, speak for yourself. T-Bone was sitting next to him. I mean, come on.
So then another prediction I made, and I was talking to Feathered Warrior, and I don't know who else before the game. We were talking about the quarterback situation, which was the talk leading up to the game. And he said, well, what's going to happen with the quarterback situation? I said, I'll tell you exactly what's going to happen. Perry Orth is going to start. He's going to play two series. Brandon McIlwain is going to come in. He's going to play two series, and then we'll go from there. We'll decide whoever's moving the team. So McIlwain was kind of moving the team, I would say. And then at halftime, G-Man looks at me. He says, all right, what are we going to do at quarterback? And my prediction then was McElwain's coming out. And if we see another quarterback come in besides McElwain, it is going to be Jake Bentley. I said Perry Orth is done. I was eulogizing Perry Orth in my head, throwing dirt on him. So I had one really good prediction and one really horrible prediction.
And the thing about that is we were all in, you know, we all agreed. We were in unanimity on that. We were like, he's done.
Yeah.
We've packed the dirt down his grave. That was it. Thanks a lot. And we all agreed. But what we weren't thinking about is, I mean, how many passes did that guy have that were dropped, that they were put on the money and were dropped?
Yeah. About three. Yeah. Three. And you know, I think part of it is we were excited for something new. We saw something new, and it was kind of cool to see McElwain running around. But in reality, you know, Orth was a steadier hand. I mean, McElwain, you know, he put the ball on the ground once that, you know, turned the ball over, and then he put the ball on the ground again on a play that very well could have been a turnover.
Right.
And I think the coaches were thinking, okay, let's try to curtail these turnovers, get a steadier hand out there and see if we can, you know, put a few plays together. And, you know, in Orth, you got to give the guy credit. He did that. He really did that. I mean, he put the ball on the money. Some of those throws, another drop. The first series was another drop by Smith that would have been a big play. And then after that, he settled down and hit, you know what, he hit Edwards about six times, hit Debo on a nice play. So,
yeah, the ball in the second half, that third down conversion to Debo, was one of the prettiest balls you'll ever see. The one he dropped over his shoulder,
right,
running out
of
bounds.
That's right.
But,
absolutely. Here's the question. So we saw that. We now have 1/12 of the data set in front of us. What would have to happen for Jake Bentley to play now?
I think somebody'd have to get hurt. I mean, either somebody would have to get hurt, or the offense would have to be disastrously bad, which I don't think it will be. I don't think I don't think our offense is ever going to be good this season. But I think we'll move the ball and score some points, and our defense is going to have to keep us in games. I think what you saw Thursday night is our recipe. And it's not sexy, and it's not going to be fun. I looked at G-Man, I think at the end of the first quarter, and I said, I think most people were pretty miserable at that point at the way we were playing. I looked at G-Man, I said, at this rate, it doesn't feel like we're ever going to be good again.
Right.
I mean, ever going to be good again. You know, it was bad, bad football. I mean, it was first game, a lot of first game stuff, a lot of penalties, you know, drop balls. You know, we had tons of new guys out there on the field that had were either starting their first game or playing their first game. One guy who didn't look like he was playing his first game was Brian Edwards. T-Bone, who's he remind you of?
He reminds me of Sidney Rice.
All right. Yeah, he's you know, he's probably a little thinner than Alshon. I can go with that.
But no, I wouldn't willing to go there. I'll tell you what he is. He's Sidney Rice. He's Sidney Rice. Patton messed up his knee or ankle or whatever it was in the pregame Georgia warm-ups his freshman year.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, I see what you're saying a little bit, but you know, I think he's a little better after the catch than Sidney Rice. You know, Sidney was going up and getting it, and this guy can go up and get it too. But this guy, I like his yak ability. You know, yards after the catch, a little bit of like Pharaoh. You know, he puts his head down, bulls ahead. He's pretty pretty stocky. So I don't know. I'm not sure I can offer up a comparison with that guy. I mean, he's kind of unique skill set.
He was go ahead.
What's your comparison?
I was thinking Alshon from the get-go. Yeah. I mean, just because of his athleticism, his big play ability. Either way, we got a star on our hands. We just got to figure out a way to get him the football, and we got to find a couple of other guys who can make plays alongside him. I think Debo's that guy. I think all of a sudden Debo was your feature guy coming into the season. Now he's your complimentary guy. you know, and I'm reading, yes, I'm reading a ton into the first game of the season. We got to find a slot guy if Jamari Smith is going to play like he did on Thursday night.
Yeah, yeah. You got to have a guy in the slot. I mean, I think you got some candidates. You got lots of guys who can try it. We'll just see what happens.
So I'll do a quick.
If you believe Muschamp, that guy in the slot probably is going to be a tight end.
Yeah.
Right.
He does like his tight ends. None of our tight ends look like tight ends either. I mean, Casey Crosby caught that ball the other night. I mean, he looks like a stocky wide receiver. He doesn't look like a tight end at all. And your boy Hayden Hurricane doesn't look like a tight end either. He looks like a big wide receiver.
And that's okay. That's okay. I like those guys who can go in the middle and make those tough catches. I mean, we do have a lot of candidates.
Yeah.
You know, it's just whether who's going to step up. So
we'll do a quick Twitter question. Nate Kaminsky at PhoneHand says, "What would you say to Jamari Smith if you were his position coach?
Catch the ball.
Catch the damn ball." I think that's what I'd say to him. Maybe a little louder and a little more forceful, but yeah. Defensive side of the ball was fantastic. Now, we were not playing as Connor Tapp said, we were not playing the 1999 Rams, but still, a lot of, Vandy just couldn't get anything going on offense. Their boy Ralph Webb, who guaranteed a victory, what did he wind up with? He was
95
yards, but it took him 20-some-odd carries and held him in check. Vandy, as always, does not have a quarterback. And I can't tell if G-Man is doing that to me. I see him on video. I think he's like taming his dog or something.
No, I'm watching something on TV at the same
Somebody
time.
Somebody got in the way of the TV.
No. I was Ann's up there watching something. We were making like hand motions to each other. Don't worry about it.
Who's Ann? So, what are you talking about?
I don't know who she is. She's my friend. She's my friend. But anyway, what were you talking about before you diverted the conversation?
We were talking about Vandy not having a quarterback. Talking about our defense.
Well, you know the quarterback. We did hear a lot about this Shermer guy pregame, and not that impressive, really. You know,
right.
And that hurt them. I mean, they wanted to run this power offense, and then they wanted to turn around and run play action. So the guy just, I don't know, not impressive. But I don't know. You got to give it to our defense. I mean, they were around the ball. You know, didn't you feel like they were just hustling to the ball better?
Yeah,
we had like a lot of hats in the area.
You know what they were doing? They were flocking the ball.
Yep.
They were flocking to the ball. Good old Muschamp, man.
Bunch of ball flockers.
So I'll tell you who is maybe the most underrated player on the defense is TJ Holloman. I went back and watched watched some of the game, and that guy is he doesn't jump off the screen as somebody who's just flying around making every tackle, but he always seems to be in the right place at the right time.
Didn't you like bash on him
I probably did. I mean, okay. He's one of these guys who's been in the program for like 8 years, and it's like, when's the next guy going to come in? But Holloman is a solid football player, and I was watching tonight. They had on SEC Network film room, and Muschamp was in there. By the way, listening to Muschamp talk about football is fantastic. I mean, that guy knows what he is talking about. So anyway, they showed a play where Holloman tackled Webb on a little screen play, for maybe about a 1 yard loss. But anyway, they showed everybody lined up, and he said, "All right, we got a 4-man rush," and TJ steps up, and then as soon as the ball snapped, he says, "Ralph Webb steps up." He said, "Now if the running back steps up to the line of scrimmage when we're rushing four," he said, "something's going on." He said it's either a draw or a screenplay or something. And sure enough, it was a screenplay, and Holloman totally read it. The center was supposed to actually kick out and block Holloman, but Holloman read the play quick enough where he got in there and dumped Webb for a loss. And it was just – it's fun when you – I mean, we watch these plays. You know, we watch 100 plays, 120 plays a game, and we don't really think that much about, you know, who went where and why. But to sit there and watch a few of those plays like that and have Muschamp, I mean, explain exactly what happened is kind of fun to watch.
Well, yeah, the guy knows he knows his football, man. There's no question about it. I mean, I'm excited about it.
Yeah, he's excited about it. You were breaking up there a little bit, but yeah. So, T-Bone, any more thoughts on the game? Oh, one guy we didn't mention, Elliot Fry.
Oh yeah,
who?
I love that.
Hey, I got a little story about that. Okay. Yeah. First he makes the 49 yarder into the wind, you know, to give us our first points. And guys, admit it, we were super relieved to see some points, right?
Right.
At that point.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
We didn't think we were going to score all season.
We did not want to get shut out.
Right. Yeah. We were like, wow, we scored. So anyway, so we get towards the end of the game and we're, you know, it's 10 all and we're driving for that last score. And I made friends with the guy to my left. A good Gamecock fan who lived in Knoxville. Can't remember his name right now, but anyway, good guy.
He's a good friend, though.
Well, we made friends for the moment. How about that? We were friends for like a snapshot in time. We were buds.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And so we're watching
the
game.
Let's call this friend Ann.
Your friend Ann.
Whatever. except it was a dude. So, driving in the 35 or so, and you know, we stall, and it's third down. And I said to him, Muschamp's going to run this ball twice, and he's going to kick the field goal to win the game. And this guy looks at me, and he's like, are you serious? You're crazy. He goes, we got to get 10 more yards. I said, nope. I said, look at those flags back there. I said, he made that 49-yarder into the wind. We're in field goal range. He is going to run the ball twice, and we're going to kick that field goal. At least we're going to try.
Yeah.
And he just stood me down. I wasn't going to work. And I said, you watch. That's what's going to happen. You know? And that's exactly what happened. Now, I didn't want him to lose yardage on third down, but.
Right.
But,
right.
Right.
That was one you could see coming from a mile away, too. It was like, all right, we're going to come out of the timeout. We're going to run something safe, you know, let the clock run down or let Vandy take one of their timeouts or something. And then I don't know if it was Williams or Turner in the backfield. They go in motion, and it's right. Like, oh, my God, Orth is going to run the ball. What are we doing? Because there's no way we're going to throw a pass on that play.
No way. No.
And then he loses, you know, 4 yards, and then all of a sudden it's a 55-yard field goal. And, you know, no problem. No problem for Elliot Fry. And we did have a Twitter question that said, let me see if I can find it. He says, would you say Elliot Fry is a great kicker or the greatest kicker? So, and that's Jeb Benson, at Jeb Benson. I don't know. He's about to be the greatest Gamecock kicker, I believe.
How many more points does he have to get?
I want to say it's like 30, something like that. I mean, he should get it pretty easily.
Right.
So, yeah, we'll just go ahead and call him the greatest kicker. Let's just go ahead and do it.
Yeah, I mean, that was a great kick, and it was sort of a no-doubter. The minute it left his foot, you know, I was like, that's good. That's a good kick. I mean, you know, what a kick, man. I mean, you got to think about the significance of that kick. I mean, really. I mean, you know, nobody picked us to win that ball game.
Right.
You know, we were picked to get blown out by Vanderbilt. I mean, think about that. You know, they can't even put 30,000 people in their seats.
Right.
And yet we go in there and win that ball game. Not sure we really deserve to win, maybe. But then, I mean, Fry just kicks that ball. I mean, just an amazing, amazing kick. And honestly has gotten very little publicity on the national scene. Not that we deserve a lot of publicity, but I've almost heard nobody talk about this, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, the guy kicks a 55-yard field goal to win the game in the last minute, you know, SEC game. The only SEC game in week one of pitting two conference teams against each other, and it's gotten zero publicity.
I don't even think they replayed the game. They may have done it on Friday, like when we were coming back from Nashville, but I didn't see because my DVR of the live game like ended right after our touchdown. So I didn't get to see the last drive for the field goal, but I couldn't find usually SEC Network does a replay or something. I couldn't find one, but yeah, I mean, it was a great kick, great play. Should have been, one of the plays of the weekend, but yeah, we did. Yeah, and it kind of goes with the whole narrative. Before the game, Vandy was a 6 or 7 win team. They've really got things going now, and they're going to be tough, and they're going to beat South Carolina. And then, we beat them, and now all of a sudden it's, man, that was two bad teams. Oh, those are two awful teams. Both of them have a long way to go, terrible right. football game. And, from the outside looking in, yeah, it was a terrible football game. But you know what? Sitting in Nashville watching that field goal go through, it doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah. And, of course, everything else during the weekend went according to plan.
Right.
So, I mean, everything else, it was chalk across the board with all the other games. So, you can give the pundits and the predictors credit for everything that they talked about for the, months up to the opening weekend.
You mean like
great job, guys?
Like Mississippi State losing to South Alabama, and Kentucky losing to Southern Miss, and LSU losing to Wisconsin, and
right. Houston beating Oklahoma, and all those things. I mean, Texas beating Notre Dame. Yeah, I mean, perfect. Good prediction, guys. Excellent work.
Well, let's talk about that. What does it mean to us that Mississippi State lost to South Alabama? What's
nothing.
The net effect?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I said that when it happened. It was like your immediate reaction is, oh wow, Mississippi State sucks. We got a good chance to go in there and win that game. And as the week goes along, it's kind of like, now, I mean, Mississippi State opened as a 9.5-point favorite in Vegas. Did y'all see that? I think it's down to like 7.5 or 7 now. So
Right. Nobody
trusts us. To be honest with you, I don't trust us either. But I still think I feel better about going in there than I did probably a week ago. But it's still going to be a tough game.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've already done what I hope we could do, which is potentially split these two ball games. I mean, I'm not saying I want to lose the ball game. I want to win the ball game, but we got a reasonable shot at winning that ball game. I think the way if our defense plays like they played on Thursday night, we got a shot. Now we've got to make some more plays. Somebody's got to step up and help Edwards. We'll see if we can do that. We don't have playmakers. I was watching that Florida State. Who'd they play? Florida State.
Ole Miss.
Yeah, exactly. And on both teams, how many playmakers did they have on the outside? Like they were just endless. I mean, just four or five, six guys. Just who just everywhere you look, there was another playmaker. And that's what we need. Like I take like half that many.
Yeah. Right. So T-Bone, talk about looking ahead. If we really want to get spicy here, we got at Mississippi State, which all of a sudden is winnable. I think East Carolina is one that we've chalked up, right?
Yeah, be careful there.
Yeah.
Is Kentucky after that? At Kentucky?
Yeah.
Holy crap, man, we're 4-0.
Except the problem with that is we're 1-0 and we don't really have an option. So don't get too close to yourself. And the other thing is, looking not so far ahead, this week's game is a very different game in the sense of what our defense is going to be stressed by.
Right.
We were looking at our running game, the Stanford, the I, the
conservative,
straightforward kind of, right, very conservative, extremely conservative. What we're going to see Saturday night is going to be screen, 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 QB run, screen, throw the ball deep.
Right.
I mean, it's going to be very corner and safety intensive, where this last game was very linebacker and defensive line intensive.
Right.
And so we're going to learn a little bit more about our guys, I guess.
Yeah. Hey, one quick last thought about watching that show with Muschamp. They were asking him about, hey, you were in Vandy territory three straight times and you punted, you know, and Muschamp said, you know, he said, that's not all on me. He said, my other guys, they were trying to, he said the last, on the last fourth down, they had actually lined up to go for it. And Vandy called a timeout. When we came out of the timeout, we punted. And he said, Roper actually talked him into punting on that last series. He said because the defense was playing so well. So I think we were all a little bit hot that we – well, except for G-Man. G-Man's he's an old school, you know, pin them deep and play defense kind of guy. But, all's well that ends well.
Well, at that point, I was afraid if we gave up a touchdown and went down 17-0,
yeah,
it was over. Over the way the offense was playing. So, I mean, I kept thinking pin them deep, you know. But anyway, you know, that's the old coach in me.
So, T-Bone, I'll let you think about it for a minute. G-Man, you got a rubber chicken award for the Vandy game?
That's the easiest rubber chicken in the history of rubber chickens. Elliot Fry, but I'm going to give an assist to somebody we haven't talked about, and that's Sean Kelly, the punter.
All right, for getting that snap and putting that ball down and –
But also the punting. I mean, the punting was fantastic. So I'm going to give it, a rubber chicken to Fry with a assist to Kelly.
All right, I'm going to go with my boy Perry Orth. I said it in the blog the day after in the snap judgments. He's not the quarterback we want. You know, we want the shiny new toy with all the athleticism or the big arm or, you know, the big, tall, strapping guy. But he's the quarterback we need right now. He's the guy that understands the offense. He knows how to read defenses. He throws the ball to the right places. And, you know, he's not going to be flashy or spectacular. And he's still going to split time with McElwain, I'm sure, for the time being. But he came in and really helped us win that game Thursday night. How about you, T-Bone? Rubber chicken?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Blake Archibald Cornelius Mortimer Camper. coming off the bench after an injury on the first series, coming off the bench and playing, according to all accounts, you know, pretty well flawless in a backup role.
Yeah.
It's good to have a little O-line depth. It's good to have a little O-line flexibility. Young guy coming off the bench and doing the job. Man down.
I didn't know his middle name was Cornelius.
I didn't know he had. Yeah. I didn't know he had six names. Cornelius Mortimer.
I keep up with it.
All right.
Wow.
Let's do some Twitter questions. Unless you got any final thoughts on Nashville or Vanderbilt? I did shake the hand of a policeman as we were walking out and thanked him for his hospitality. He was very, very gracious back to me. But Nashville was fun. We enjoyed it. I would encourage you guys, even though Vandy's usually not the best football program, it's a fun trip.
Good trip.
Oh yeah.
So, Sam McDowell, S. McDowell 12, part of the GABA cast, actually says, did we beat Vandy because DC3 tweets and I didn't come, and therefore we didn't bring the GABA cast curse with us? I think that's a given, and I think we would appreciate it if you guys stayed away from South Carolina games for forever, to be honest with you. So, thanks in advance. Phil Mobley, who is at Thalarious Rex, which is just a great Twitter handle. He says, can you even right now? And I'll take that question. The answer is I literally cannot even right now. So Phil has actually, I don't know if he even remembers this, he's actually offered to take me to an Atlanta professional soccer match once the new stadium opens here, because I think it might be the only opportunity for me to get into Mercedes-Benz Stadium, because football games are going to be like $12,000 a ticket or something like that. So Phil, counting on you when that time comes around. Another question. What one position do we need to see the most improvement in this week against Mississippi State? That comes from Jeff Cars. G-Man?
position for improvement? I would say wide receiver.
Yeah.
More guys need to step up.
Yeah. Right.
I'm with you there.
Yeah. Yeah.
See some more from the wide receiver crew. Matt Burris. No, not Matt Burris, but thank you. I just saw a tweet from Matt Burris, but he did not ask a question. Andrew Lynch, Andrew 80384, says, is K-Mac Must Die a Clemson homer or a super huge Clemson homer? T-Bone, what do you think?
Tater.
He's a tater.
Tater. He's a tater.
K-Mac, I mean, there's no question he's a tater. How do you feel? Chris Phillips, C Philly 19, says, how do you feel after the Vandy W? I think we all got to feel pretty good. 1-0 is better than 0-1. Doesn't matter how you get there. First game of the season is always a bit of a trap. You got new guys. We got a new coaching staff, new systems. So I feel pretty doggone good about it. As G-Man said, we talked about it. We'd love to get out of those first two road SEC games with a split, and we've at least got that. So we're going to get greedy now. T-Bone, I'm going to put you on. Go ahead.
Yeah. How do I feel about after the Vandy win? How do I feel? I feel slightly gassy and thicker around the middle than would be ideal.
Yeah. But you would have felt that way if we'd have lost too, though. So.
That's exactly right.
So Chris Marin at Chris_MARRIN. T-Bone, I'm gonna you're the history buff. And don't get mad, G-Man. G-Man's a history buff too. So which current player or coach escapes Nazi prison camp the fastest and why?
AJ Turner.
Yeah,
I'm guessing AJ Turner because he's small and quick. I mean, what else are you going to do?
I'm going to say Coach Dillman. I found out that Coach Dillman, the strength and conditioning coach, was the guy walking around on the sidelines the whole time with his hands up.
Yeah,
and I still don't know why. So I figure if he's in a Nazi prison camp and he's walking around with his hands up all the time, he can just walk out the front door because it looks like he's surrendering the whole time. You know, so he's.
We don't know why he had his hands up there, right?
No, I still don't. I mean, and if for those of you that didn't see this at the game, Coach Dillman would stand outside of, if there was a timeout and all the players were huddled together, he would stand outside and he would just hold his hands up in the air. And I'm holding my hands up in the air like you can see this and you can't. But the whole time. But he wasn't, it didn't look like he was blocking signals or anything. And then one time we watched him and like the huddle broke up, players ran on the field, and he was walking down the sidelines by himself with his hands up in the air. And
he held his hands up in the air like he just didn't care?
I guess he did not care.
Right.
I guess he did not.
I'm hilarious. I know.
DC3_tweets, what's the best story you have regarding a college football road trip? DC3, we have a fantastic story that we could tell you from our trip last Thursday, but because it's a family-friendly show, we'll have to tell you in private sometime. But I trust you.
That's right.
Trust me, it will be worth your time when we're able to tell you this story. And
and all you people here that think you know, kind of like, okay, I know what you don't know. You don't know.
You have no clue. Hey, we have more questions because I got one more thing I want to make an observation
on. Oh yeah, we got. Let's see. Come Saturday night, should we be holding on to our butts? That's another one from Sam McDowell. We should always be. We should never stop holding on to our butts.
Yeah, 24/7.
Hey,
yeah.
Here's Beat Clem. He said, how butt was Kurt Roper's play call on third down before the 55-yarder? It was very butt. On the butt scale, we're going to say that was extremely butt. So I think that's Beat Clem sent me a text that – oh, here we go. I can't tell who – this is a text you exchanged with Beat Clem. Mistakes, hard to watch. I guess Beat Clem is saying this. We're okay. They can't move the ball on us. G-Man says, glad you feel better than I do. Beat Clem says, right where we want them. And then after it's all After it's over, G-Man says, Elliot Fry, that's all. And Beat Clem says, was never in doubt.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'll say this. I've known Beat Clem a while, and I'm a little surprised by his optimism.
Not always optimistic.
Got to give him credit. You know, he was optimistic when we were down 10-0. So, and I was not feeling too good. But thanks, Beat Clem, for keeping us up there in a down period.
So last question, Gamecock Colonel at Bourbon Bias says, is a hot dog a sandwich? And I've seen this. I mean, that's a raging debate on the internet that I've never, never really gotten a beat on. So you say it's not a sandwich.
No, a hot dog's a hot dog.
But it's meat and bread.
But the meat does not cover the bread does not cover the meat. Well, yeah, that's a sandwich.
Well, what about an open face sandwich? The bread doesn't cover the meat in an open face sandwich.
That's an open face sandwich.
I do agree though. I don't think a hot dog is a sandwich. I think a hot dog is an entity all to itself. So
exactly.
So G-Man, you had one more topic you wanted us to talk about.
I just wanted to say how sweet it would have been if one of those stinking Auburn receivers could have just caught one of those Hail Mary passes.
Yeah.
I mean, that would have been one of the greatest, moments of my football life, because Dabo, how stupid was he to not kick the field goal? I got some Clemson friends who were just like, what was he doing? You know, I mean, give them a chance. I mean, there were 45 seconds. I mean, yeah, maybe 10 seconds, you don't do that. But, you know, Gallman runs out of bounds, right?
Right, yeah.
Gives them 45 seconds. And then they drop back and prevent, and the guy completes those two passes. I mean, really, it was pretty darn close to them losing that ball game, which would have been ridiculous since Auburn's terrible on offense. Yeah. Terrible. They're worse than us on offense.
Yeah, Gus Malzahn has literally forgotten how to coach. He was just running quarterbacks out like it was roulette table.
Yeah, but that would have been so sweet. I went
to bed when Clemson got the ball back. I just figured they were going to run the clock out. I went to bed. I didn't even see the Hail Mary. So I woke up the next morning. I was like, wow, well, geez, almost missed an exciting Auburn miracle.
But. Yeah, you kind of had a feeling they were going to pull it out, too. I mean, it really – you had that feeling because they got down to the 40.
Yeah.
And they had two plays. And, I mean, the guy threw a couple of really nice balls into the end zone. And one of them, there were two Auburn players and one Clemson player, you know. And he got up and knocked it down. But, I mean, it was like, whoa, that was close.
So, T-Bone, how is the mood in the upstate? I'm sure they're, somehow they find a way to be happy and arrogant about anything they do. So –
yeah, you don't realize this, but the team they beat won the national title in the last couple of years.
Oh, that's true.
Right.
Yeah, so that was a huge message-sending, resounding victory.
Right. Well, good for them.
At least they would have. But I'll tell you this.
Go ahead.
The Tigers, they've got feet of clay, man.
Feet of clay?
Feet of clay. Write it down. These are not superstars. This team's going to lose four games this year.
Oh God! You just totally reverse jinxed them. You told us they were going to lose six last year.
Four games.
They're going to lose four.
Okay.
You know what? After watching, if Florida State plays the way they played in the second half the other night, they will beat Clemson. And I'm telling you, who to watch out for in the ACC is Louisville.
Yeah. Louisville.
Louisville's got some talent. Louisville.
That Florida State quarterback, man, that guy has a gun. Good gracious, that dude could throw the ball. But they got offensive line problems at Florida State. Yeah. They got to figure out a way to run the ball. But, I mean, playmakers just everywhere on that team, everywhere. And I didn't feel too bad for Chad Kelly.
Yeah.
Not at all.
No.
It doesn't matter. It's Alabama and everybody else at this point.
Yeah.
Although Georgia, I'll tell you, Georgia, you know, I'll never forget T-Bone a couple of years ago. Georgia lost, who'd they lose to in that? They lost a mid-tier bowl game, and I think T-Bone tweeted out something like, oh, well, this sets up nicely for them to be ranked in the top 10 preseason next year, you know, after they lost. So Georgia was
– lost to Central Florida.
Right, that's what it is. And sure enough, they were ranked in the top 10 preseason the next year. So now Georgia all of a sudden is a top two or three team in the SEC, and now they're, I think, ranked number 9. So they're all of a sudden in the top 10 and after they beat this North Carolina team. And Mitch Trubisky, everybody's talking about Mitch Trubisky. Oh, he's better than Marquise Williams. And he looked terrible. I mean, he looked terrible.
Yeah. I tell you what, North Carolina got hosed on a few calls.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They got totally hosed. Right. I mean, and I wasn't necessarily pulling for them. Well, I kind of was. But they got hosed, man. I mean, that play out of bounds at the end of the game when they had the first down and the illegal man downfield call where Fedora goes ballistic and gets another penalty. The guy was like 1 yard downfield. Right. I mean, ridiculous. They got hosed.
Yeah. They did.
Anyway.
All right.
And also, another play where people got hosed, by the way, we didn't talk about this game, but the Texas Notre Dame game, the targeting play in the end zone.
Yeah, yeah.
Total targeting. They didn't score on that possession, then they lost the game. I mean, that was ridiculous. The guy got speared right in the helmet.
Yeah, and anyway. They could have, this year, they can call that down from the replay booth. You know, they can make that
and
call.
I was like,
replay
what are they looking at? I mean, the guy hit him right in the helmet with his helmet. I mean, he about decapitated him. And then they're like, oh, no flag.
Right.
And yeah. I couldn't believe it. Anyway, sorry, but I had to bring that up.
I appreciate that. T-Bone, any final thoughts from the upstate?
No. None at all.
That was a long pause before you said no.
He was thinking about it.
G-Man.
Just thinking to think.
G-Man, final thoughts?
No, good win, good first week. A win is a win. A road win in the SEC, no matter what, is good. How many did we have last year? Zero. You know, so you got to feel good about that. We won on the road in the SEC. A lot of teams would like to change places with us this week.
Yeah, we got a chance to double our SEC win total from last year coming up on Saturday.
Absolutely. Yep.
Let's get it done. Go Cox. All right, everybody. Thanks for joining us. We're going to try to do this every week. Yeah, T-Bone joined us on cell phone tonight because he was so anxious to be part of TRC Unleashed. So we're glad T-Bone was part of TRC Unleashed, G-Man and Buck, and we're glad you were part of TRC Unleashed. Everybody have a good week, and go Cox.